Gain-of-function research is a type of biomedical research where pathogens are adulterated, viruses are adulterated to make them more potent or to change the way that they function.
It's a big deal. Could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had.
A lot of people say that, sir.
If we had this done.
There is now another new director of the nation's top public health agency. President announcing on Truth Social that Dr. Erica Schwartz will take over as the next leader of the CDC.
I do believe that mRNA technology is safe and effective.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We found in this study, looking at the vaccine adverse event reporting system, these vaccines have killed like 2,600% more children than measles has for the past 30 years.
In your entire career, how many fetuses have you worked with?
I don't remember the exact number, but quite a few when we were studying them originally, before we decided to use them to make vaccines.
The end game has always been, and Bill Gates said this very clearly in 2011, the World Health Organization has stipulated this from 2011, and they recited again in 2018 and 2019, their end game is the decrease of the population of humanity on this planet. And that's a polite way of saying that these are sociopathic murderers who are actually building weapons to conveniently turn what we call healthcare into the front line of the biggest mercenary deployment of mass murdering psychopaths we've ever seen on this planet. And we as a society need to understand that it's not coming from a foreign adversary. It's coming from domestic adversaries who are intent on destroying the orderly structure of the United States.
I think Bill Gates has done more damage to the world's health than probably any other individual, aided and abetted by Tony Fauci.
You murdering Bill Gates!
Psychopath!
You son of a bitch!
You have blood on your head! You have blood on your head!
Sure, but you're a certified medical doctor, so, I mean, you're not allowed to do something to me without consent. It's a felony. I'm asking how Bill Gates and Google run around in Latin America and here and then dump out GMO mosquitoes with God knows what to supposedly, you know, flying syringes is what they call it. Who gave him the right? I got to go to the hospital, the doctor, and sign consent forms. Why does Dr. Bill Gates get to rape me and my family and put in my body what he wants?
I believe it was Tennessee that outlawed edible vaccines in their grocery store. Because, again, you don't know what the dose is. You don't know how much you're supposed to eat. I mean, what happens if you're supposed to eat one head of lettuce and you eat 10 heads of lettuce? What kind of dose does that do to your body? The whole vaccine industry, honestly, Alex, just needs to blow up and go away.
House Bill 1894 merely would require any food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material would have to be classified as a drug and labeled as such.
So it's no secret that Bill Gates is one of the most hated evil people on earth. And that he put all his money into tax-free foundations, so he basically pays no taxes. Then he uses large parts of the profit to buy off all the major regulatory institutions of the world at the UN, globalist level, and at the national level. And people that want to kill everybody pose as liberal-loving, you know, take this shot, take this COVID shot, you can't get COVID, you can't spread it. But they want to get rid of the poor, they want to get rid of the middle class, they want to get rid of the white people, they want to get rid of everybody that basically stands in their way. And what they really want is the power to kill whoever they want.
We were going
to
make a movie together, and they just had a beautiful new baby. And I said, well, what shots did you give the baby? She said, none. And I said, what? She said, yeah, they're too small to absorb those toxins right now. They don't have an immune system. They have an external immune system. Their mother's breast milk.
Yes.
And I said, well, why do you tell other people to get it? We said, well, that's up to them. When we went to school, it's like three shots. Now, it's staggering. It's 72 different doses of 16 different vaccines before the age of six. And we're wondering, why is there, and people go, I can't have anything to do with it. I can't have anything to do with it. Are you nuts? So.
By the way, I should say for the record, I think YouTube will censor this.
No, they will.
They'll demonetize absolutely. It just for having this conversation.
I'm sorry. Well, you might have to put this out there with this part cut out.
You cannot, under any moral justification, come up with an excuse that says it's acceptable to have a death rate of American citizens. And that's a quote that has come not only from Moderna, but also from Pfizer. They accept a death rate of American citizens for the purpose of what? Their own profiteering and the mass murder of Americans.
introducing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water, you're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95-plus percent lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of theolicechipstore.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at theolicechipstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Not usually here on Sunday night, so it's a kind of a new experience. Just finished watching a little while ago the Spain versus Argentina football match, which is fine. I didn't care who won, really. It's great. Spain, Argentina. I'm just glad France and England didn't win because they weren't really the French or England teams. At least Spain and Argentina mostly look like they came from those countries. So that was a benefit. But 1-0, it's pretty hard to get excited about a game where they run around for 120 minutes and at the end it's 1-0. Be that as it may, I'm trying to get a guest on tonight. We're working to include him on the show, a guy from Ireland who's up on things, has his own pretty cool YouTube channel named Derek Domino. As soon as he's linked in, we'll go to him. But otherwise, until then, I'm just watching the news out of Iran, and it's just getting crazier and crazier. It seems like we're going up this escalation ladder with no exit ramp, which is absolute insanity. We've been hitting power plants and a couple of desal plants in Iran, which is really insane because Iran only depends on desalinated water for like less than 5% of their people, where 95% of the country lives off of groundwater and reservoirs. So if the worst came to worst and all the desal plants were knocked out, that 5% of Iran, which is a few million, could just move to the rest of Iran. Whereas in the Gulf states, most of them are like 90% on desalinated water. I think Saudi Arabia is 70% and the others are like 90%. So if this gets into a complete slugfest, then where power plants and desal plants are hit, it's going to be a mass evacuation out of the Gulf states, which is millions of people, and there won't even be enough airplanes to get them out. It'll be impossible to fly people out in that kind of a time scale, not to mention it would be in the middle of a war, right? It would be in the middle of a war. So how are you going to fly aircraft in and out when the missiles are flying? You can only live 3 days without water. I don't know what they have in terms of cisterns and reservoirs in these countries, but it's probably not that much. So the fact that we're pushing towards this from our end, from the American end, is almost apocalyptic. It's almost like trying to goad Russia into striking Europe, to striking at the NATO countries, which we're also doing. You know, if you look at a big map of Asia, and it covers from the equator all the way up to the North Pole, and it's centered over Europe and Central Asia. This war now has extended from Murmansk, which is like the very top of Russia on the Arctic. That's where long-range drones have hit, all the way down to the bottom of Yemen at the Bab el-Mandab Strait. We're talking 8,000 kilometers of a war. And in the middle, there's only a very small gap of about 500 kilometers, which is from the Crimea area, the eastern corner of the Black Sea, the Sea of Azov, and even the Caspian Sea, to the top of Iran, which has also been hit. So there's not much terrain left that hasn't been part of either the Russia-Ukraine war or the America-Israel-Iran war. Just a few hundred kilometers. I mean, I'm in Florida. It would be easier for me, it would be closer to drive from where I am to Miami than to cover the distance between the northern front and the southern front of what is increasingly looking like a world war. Because, you know, you have America and NATO essentially behind both of these wars, and you can include our little evil brother Britain in there, you know, also on our side. Going all the way back to 2014 and the Maidan coup, we've been trying to provoke this world war since it, you know, for the last 12 years. It broke out into the open with the special military operation. Now we've figured out a way to launch missiles deep into Russia from Ukraine. And this is strictly using Ukraine as a cutout, as a launch pad. So the Germans and the Brits are making these long-range drones that are as large as, you know, little airplanes, shipping them in parts to Ukraine so that technically they're launched from Ukraine at Russia. But every part of them is made in Germany and made in Great Britain, every single part of them. I mean, imagine if China set up a missile factory in Mexico and was launching missiles, you know, into Chicago and into San Francisco and Dallas, but saying, hey, don't look at us. They're coming from Mexico. You can only attack Mexico. We've got nothing to do with it. Well, both Iran and Russia are about over being punched around like this. In Russia, they call it E-Day. They're waiting for Escalation Day, meaning, when are we going to take the gloves off and hit the real enemies, which are these NATO countries? They've you know, publicly announced the exact street addresses of the factories where these long-range drone components and missile components are made, warning Germany and Britain that you're risking a world war. And Russia explicitly says, we don't take nuclear retaliation off the table. If this is an existential crisis for Russia, we're not going to go down without using all of our weapons. They've been very explicit about this. Yet we continue to push forward. Now, in the southern front of this same war, which is the Iran war, every expert is saying it makes no sense. America is going to back down. It's a total disaster for the entire world if all of the infrastructure around the Persian Gulf is blown up. It can't be rebuilt, even in years. The world will go into a Great Depression. There will be famines in the poor countries around the world. It took half of a century. It took 50 or 60 years to build up all the Gulf petrochemical infrastructure, all of these power plants, aluminum smelters,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10
desalinization plants that provide millions of people with their drinking water. It took many decades to build this stuff. We can blow it up in a matter of weeks. Well, there's no magic formula for replacing that stuff. It can be destroyed in a minute what took years to build. And if it's all destroyed because we keep pushing this war, I think that there's no avoiding the world going into a great deep depression. And we've even hit some Iranian power plants and at least two desalinization plants. Yeah, and we'll keep going at that. And Iran has said, well, then we're going to hit the desal plants and power plants on the other side. And they have. They've hit desalinization plants too, I think, in Kuwait. They're successfully pushing our aircraft and bases completely out of the Gulf. Our refueling tankers are now all the way back in Israel, some in Jordan, which means that they can't stay on the ground closer in Syria or other bases that, you know, we have unofficially You know, one thing with these aircraft, you can land them anywhere. I mean, there are plenty of air bases that are semi-covert, that are CIA installations. That lasted and that worked for many years. But now, in the era of persistent surveillance, 24-hour surveillance, as soon as an aircraft lands and starts unloading equipment, it's seen. And we saw what happened a few nights ago. The Iranians preemptively struck. I'm not sure if it was a HIMARS or an ATACMS, but we unloaded a portable missile launch facility, drove it to the Kuwait-Iran border, and it was hit before they could even launch. So Iran has announced they're not just going to wait for the old tit for tat. They're going to be aggressive and start going up their own escalation ladder. Well, what are you going to do when you have 100 of these big refueling air tankers like our KC-135s, big aircraft, you know, the size of like a 767, and you have 100 of them in Israel? And so far, Iran in this phase of the war hasn't struck Israel. But it's going to be very tempting because the aerial refuelers are essentially the lifeblood of this war. We can't fly straight over Iran. When you see they're shooting down Predators, that's the aircraft that we put over Iran are the unmanned aircraft, and they're getting shot down. So we have to launch these very expensive standoff missiles from just outside or just over Iranian airspace. But to get there from Jordan or Israel, they have to refuel. Well, so the critical linchpin are these refuelers that are all now parked in Ben-Gurion Air Force or just Ben-Gurion Airport near Tel Aviv, and at a couple of air bases in the very southern corner of Israel. I think that they're going to be hit. That's going to be the next big escalation. Anyway, just watch this space. So joining me now, and we'll see how this hookup works. I've never met the man personally, but I really enjoy his YouTube channel. This is a fellow going by Derek Domino, and he's actually, an Irish guy living in Ireland, watching the world fall apart around him, watching the Great Replacement in action as Irish traders bring in tens of thousands of mostly third world savages to tear apart the very Irish civilization, something that they never faced even with the British, who at least were Europeans and Christians. What they're bringing in now are Hindus and Muslims to totally destabilize and wreck the country. Anyway, I don't know if Derek is up, but as soon as we can do a screen with him, I'll know he's here and we can start talking. You there, Derek? There he is.
Yeah, right.
There's the Derek Domino studio. Yeah, a couple of videos ago, you were talking about the American diaspora, the Irish American diaspora. And of course, there's lots more of us in Australia and Canada and elsewhere. But right across the pond from New York to Boston, Philadelphia, my family's from Baltimore. Anyway, there's supposedly more people claiming Irish ancestry in the States than there are in Ireland. And, they go to Ireland, they support the economy, they rent cars and stay in B&Bs and hotels. But increasingly, it's not the same old Ireland. And, that was the subject of your podcast was, we need to reach out to the Americans and let them really know what's going on. So we've got 10 minutes and you lead and I'll follow.
Well, look, first, let me say it's great to be on your show, and it's great to be on this wonderful channel. Wow, I've really hit the big time now. And look, it's a great chance for me to speak to not only an international audience, but to an American audience of the US. As you rightly say, Matt, the Irish diaspora in the United States is estimated to be somewhere between 30 and 40 million. That's huge numbers compared to the homeland here, if you like, Ireland, little Ireland here. We have just over 5 million population, as you know, which is a big jump from 4 million, which it was for most of my growing up. And as you just alluded to there, our government, our traitorous government and a traitorous political class, because it's not just the government, they have been absolutely flooding this country with absolutely massive amounts of unvetted immigration, both legal and illegal. And it's a complete open border situation. So what I was really talking about the other day in my video, which you mentioned there, was that Ireland has become a very, very closely managed democracy. I wouldn't even call it a democracy now. I would call it something else, which is, shall we say, drifting off into the left sphere of political thought. But it's definitely not an old school democracy, because the government and the opposition are all in lockstep now, completely in lockstep. There is no opposition here. It's left to voices on alternative media like YouTube and like X and like Facebook to a degree to try and put out the real story of Ireland, as in Ireland 2026. And it's nothing like what the mainstream media here in Ireland, who are controlled by the government, puts out on the airwaves. And my point was that we are so smothered here, Matt, as a populace, with government overreach in terms of they control the obviously the laws of the land. They control to a large degree, I would say, the judiciary, which is supposed to be a completely separate thing. And also now they control the mainstream media insofar as they basically prop them up financially. And whoever pays the piper, as we say, calls the tune. So we, as ordinary Irish people, we are seeing our country being changed beyond all recognition at a pace that is unprecedented, absolutely frightening. And any time we try and you know, raise our voices against what's going on, we are absolutely pummeled by the mainstream media, who are the attack dogs of the regime, and by the political class. And if we get too far out of our box, they arrest us. So it's not good. And my point was, if more of our Irish American brethren knew exactly what was going on here, and how bad things were, and how much Ireland has changed, even in 20 years, even in 10 years, man, I think they would be absolutely aghast. I think they would be horrified.
Well, Derek, out of the 5 million or so living in Ireland today, and you said it wasn't long ago it was 4 million, how many of that extra million are not born bred Irish, are from Ukraine or somewhere else? It's a high percentage.
It's a crazy percentage. And there's still, essentially, there's still 4 million Irish people here. That hasn't really changed. And as I said, for all of my childhood growing up, Ireland was always kind of around the 4 million mark, 3.94, 4.1. Now, it's, last I checked, officially, and this is officially, which I don't believe, I do not believe for a second, 5.3, drifting to 5.4. So essentially, you have 1.5 million, and I would say it's more than that. I definitely believe it, from being on the ground here day after day after day, it's more than that. They're saying it's 24% is foreign born. I would say it's higher than that. So essentially, there's still 4 million of us, Matt, and there's an extra 1.5 million. Officially, I would say it's more like 2.5, if not 3. It's really crazy, crazy
but
times
when,
over.
But when
here.
You bring in so many non-Irish, and you give them preference for housing and jobs, give them funding, and then at the same time you're freezing out the young Irish so that they can't marry, form a family, pay rent. I've been reading that an enormous percentage of the young, what would be the future of Ireland, are just giving up and leaving Ireland, which has always been the story of Ireland. You say it's been hovering around 4 million. That's because so many Irish have just quit and gone abroad. But at the very time now that this new population is coming in, the best hope for the future is emigrating, and the birth rate of these people that are coming in is to have 5 or 6 children. That is like a long ago dream of Ireland. If the Hindus and Muslims come in and have 5 or 6 children, bring in their extra wife and call her a single woman, And they're all paid, and they're given. This also must be terrible for the morale of Irish. I mean, it just seems like you're being beaten down and demoralized at every turn. And I'm just wondering, at what point is there any point where the Irish will, you know, get up their Irish and actually go kinetic?
This is the great question, the great debate over here at the moment. Ireland is becoming a powder keg. It seriously is. And you rightly say there, the flower of Irish youth, highly educated, brilliant people, young people, are leaving. They're leaving in droves. You could go to Dublin Airport any day and you will see Irish people going through the departures lounge. And if you go to the arrivals gate, you will see people coming in from all corners of the globe. Many of them without even passports. And immediately right. They just manage to get here. And as soon as they say the magic word asylum, bingo, they've hit the jackpot. And they get everything handed to them. They get, and they know that there is almost no chance that they will ever be sent back to anywhere. They know this. Right. Like, we live in an age of technology, as you know. Everybody's got WhatsApp. Everybody's communicating. I could be standing in the queue for the supermarket and the person behind me is having a chat with somebody in the Congo. You know, that's where we're at now. So these people know that Ireland, as they call it, Treasure Ireland, is what it's becoming known as, that it's just the land of freebies. And all you have to do is, by some manner or means, make your way here. Once you get here, whether it be on a boat, a ferry, a plane, or whatever, and we are an island, so you can't just walk here. But if you manage to get here, they know, as soon as you manage to get inside the border, you just have to say the magic word, and Ireland Inc. unlocks the treasure chest. Just for you.
If you can make it to France, and you'll be helped at every chance along the way, given a debit card and transportation, language help. If you make it to France, you can get on a rubber boat, 100 at a time, push off into the Channel, and this trader organization, the RNLI, this Lifeboat Institute, it's like a quasi-official Coast Guard. They go out and pick up 100 men at a time, and it's all men. It's all young fighting-age men. Bring them to the UK, put them up in a hotel, but there's nothing to stop them from catching the ferry to Northern Ireland, which is also part of the UK. Many Americans are still a little bit hazy on this, but the six lost counties of Ulster are part of the UK. So there's nothing that stops a guy. If he can get to France, he can get to the UK, he can get to Belfast, and he can catch a bus or a cab. The next stop, he's in Dublin, joining the horde.
Well, it's estimated that up to 90% of our asylum claimants come through the northern border. They, as you say, they manage to get their way into the UK, and once they've got there, they just catch a ferry across to Northern Ireland, and then it's just get a train, get a taxi, you know, get a bicycle. And there's no border checks. It's the free common travel areas, we call it, which worked for a long time. It was a great idea. It worked fine when we were ourselves, when we were us. But those days are long gone. We have people now flooding in to the UK from Somalia, Congo, from all far-flung parts of the globe, the poorest parts of the globe, sometimes the most dysfunctional parts of the globe.
I see we're coming up on a break. But when on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about what I would call the Irish traitor class and why their loyalty seems to be elsewhere than to their own Irish people. And what do we do about uprooting the Irish traitor class? We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
I'm extremely excited about this. You know, we always have the strongest turmeric at thealexjonesstore.com, and the capsules are 95% curcuminoid. That is the strongest in the market. So the very same great manufacturer that made this made it as a liquid tincture, the strongest on the market and even better than powder because there's even better absorption, ultimate turmeric, and it's got a bunch of other amazing ingredients that are known to supercharge turmeric. I know so many people that Advil doesn't work when they have a sprained ankle or arthritis, but when they take our brand of turmeric, they go, this works better than Advil. Including family I've had that's like, well, this pill's not as big as my other turmeric. My other turmeric helps, but I gotta take a bunch of the pills. I said, just take two of these. And whether it's my dad or my wife or anybody, they're like, wow, this worked better. Why? Because those aren't concentrates. Those are raw turmeric. This raw turmeric's 4 to 5% curcuminoid, 95. Okay. So we're very excited about this tincture. Just a half dropper a day. So good for your whole body. 95% curcuminoids. The liquid is better absorption. And this is 60 servings per bottle, so 2-month supply. And right now, if you're a subscriber, you just sign up to lock in at 50%, canceling time for free. You lock in at 50% off. It's 25% off for everybody if you just buy it straight off at thealexshowstore.com. The new Ultimate Liquid Turmeric Tincture. And it's got a bunch of other really cool stuff in it as well. Not just concentrated turmeric root, curcumin lunga, the strongest part, but ginger root concentrated, zingbeer officinal is the, I guess, the Latin for it, and pepperdine concentrated black pepper extract. All of it synergistically works together. 250 milligrams and just a half dropper of the turmeric concentrate, 12 milligrams of the concentrated ginger, and 100 of the pepperdine black pepper extract. Very strong, amazing product. The newest product at thealexjonesstore.com. Liquid tincture, superior absorption. Pepperdine inclusion is the difference maker. Turmeric without pepperdine is largely wasted. Most budget companies do that. Natural enzymes and things in the concentrated pepper get into the cells quicker. Triple ingredient synergy, turmeric, ginger, concentrated black pepper, 60 servings, vegan friendly, GMO free, gluten free, free of major allergies, natural flavors only, no additives or synthetic flavorings, and it funds this operation. And anybody getting the products, the other great supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the t-shirts, the collectible coins that are about to sell out, the amazing shower filters of the highest rated, taking out the most toxins of any brand, at an incredibly low price, should be a VIP. Every month in your profile, it charges you $30. You can cancel anytime for free. You instantly, when you're charged, get $40 in your profile to spend. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of all the other sales. Everyone should be a VIP. And if you're worried about some products that sell out from time to time, just become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on all pay subscribe. Cancel anytime. So become a VIP, become a subscriber, and lock it in with no commitment from you, but it's locked in for you if you choose to keep it locked in at thealexjonesstore.com. New Liquid Ultimate Turmeric, the strongest on the market. So good for your whole body and inflammation. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Patriot's choice and globalist's dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, we're back. If you're still up, be glad you're not in Ireland because it would be already after midnight. So I really appreciate Derek staying up late tonight. Midnight's not that late for young lads like us. But yeah, it's only 7:30 where I am, and I know it's later than that. Hopefully you're not keeping anybody awake.
No, Matt, you're fine. No, the pubs are closed, so I'm all yours. I'm all yours.
Exactly. They still have closing time. Right.
Well, no, we do. We do.
We were talking about the trader class, and it's really a different time. If my American audience can indulge me, there's so much Americans really just gloss over or skip about Ireland. Most Americans, if they've heard of Ireland and the troubles, they think, where are the IRA? Why aren't they doing something? And Americans don't understand that the troubles occurred in the 6 counties of Northern Ireland, the UK part of Northern Ireland, which goes all the way back to the treaty partition in the 1920s, when they thought, we'll sort that out in a few years. Well, a century later, it's not sorted out. So the troubles, what Americans think of as the Civil War conflict that went on in Belfast and Derry, that didn't happen in the Republic of Ireland, the rest of Ireland. The rest of Ireland is the land of 10,000 welcomes. The rest of Ireland has had a century of peace and harmony. And I think it's, in a sense, it's like bred the survival fighting instinct out. Because, you know, the Irish have become a nation of innkeepers and bar publicans, not, or tour guides, not fighters like they are in Northern Ireland. So it's not so surprising to me that some of the harsher, kinetic fighting back has happened in Belfast, because they still have grandpas that will tell them, look, when are you going to start fighting? I mean, it's in living memory. The troubles are in living memory of the youth in Northern Ireland, but not in the Republic. Nobody has a grandfather that fought in any war. Maybe there's a monument, or you read a book or see a documentary, but it's a long time in the past for the Republic. So I'm not sure if it'll all kick off at the same time. I wouldn't be surprised if it kicks off first in the North, because they have more of a living memory of fighting for what you... And I'm not even taking sides, Irish versus Protestant. That's a different issue. Just the fact that we'll fight for our neighborhood. You know, we'll go to the barricades. That's not in the Republic of Ireland recent history.
No, it isn't. And I grew up not that far from the border all through the 70s and 80s. So it was very much a feature of my everyday life. And the Northern Ireland, the North, and the Troubles, as we call them, that could have been on the other side of the world in some ways, really, because it, apart from a couple of incidents over the years, it really never affected us. I mean, it was on the news every night, a car bomb here, a soldier shot there, terrible, terrible things happening. And it was just every day, every week, 52 weeks a year. But it down in the Republic, the south of Ireland, that violence was a world away for us. Didn't affect us in a physical sense. But Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, since the peace agreements, the Good Friday agreements in the North, which were amazing and did amazing work, and really relations between the two communities up in Northern Ireland have steadily improved. And it's not perfect. I mean, it's not a finished project by any manner or means, but it's a way, way better than it ever was, and it was constantly improving. But down in the south, you see, we went all in on the EU, the empire of the EU, and it is an empire, let nobody tell you otherwise. And we essentially sold out our political class, the traitorous class. They essentially handed over piece by piece our sovereignty to Brussels. And most of our laws now are just copied and pasted from Brussels. Dublin, the Dáil, our parliament in Dublin is essentially now just a county council. It doesn't have, it's given away most of its powers. And the EU is a large part of the reason why Ireland is getting into the mess that it is, and is in the mess that it is. Because the one thing the EU absolutely detests is nationalism, or a spirit of nationalism. So they are doing their absolute best to dilute it, and if possible, to eradicate it. And you can't do a better job of eradicating a proud, historic people, a tribe, than just influx massive numbers of other people who don't care about their history, their heritage, their culture. And that's exactly what they're doing. And it's sad to see, but a lot of it's coming from the EU. Make no mistake, and we have never had here in Ireland, in my opinion, a worse set of politicians, a weaker set of politicians, and I would say, I'd go forward and say a more traitorous set of politicians. They don't give a damn about Ireland. The Ireland I love, the Ireland I was born into and grew up in. And I would suggest also, Matt, from knowing your background, I would say you feel the same way. We had something absolutely unique here. Unique. And our politicians have given it away. They've sold us out. They've pulled the rug from under us.
Yeah, you know, it's I think Ireland becomes a really, I call it like laboratory experiment number one, because Ireland never had colonies. You know, you can say, well, the Pakistanis and the Indians that are moving to Britain, it's the fault of Britain because they had these colonies in South Asia, in Africa, in the Caribbean. So what do you want? They're coming home. They're part of the Commonwealth of Nations. That was never the case in Ireland. And it seems, watching Irish politics, that it's set up so that there's no chance of a nationalist ever reaching national office. That you have to get the permission of very very bureaucratic, stick in the mud politicians in every county to even be put up for a national office. So you're only ever going to get Tweedledee or Tweedledum. In the American context, you're only going to get a Biden or a McCain. There's your Republican, somebody like Lindsey Graham or a Blumenthal. You know, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't even encourage you to turn out to vote, because no matter what, they just represent the EU. And it seems like to this class of Irish politicians, serving in Dublin is just a launch pad for Brussels. Or for some NGO where they'll triple their salary, and the way they get that job is by being a faithful servant of the EU while they're holding some position. But they're not loyal to the Irish people whatsoever.
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head there. And the type of politician we have now is a total careerist. Total careerist. All they know is politics. In the case of Simon Harris, or the T-boy as we call him here, he's never had a proper job. He essentially flunked out of college and went into politics in a junior way and got propelled up through the ranks. And he is exactly a picture perfect for what the EU wants. You see, there couldn't be a Michael Collins now, Matt, or an Eamon de Valera. There couldn't be, because they'd get nowhere. The EU wouldn't want them. The EU wouldn't have them, because they'd be too absolutely dyed-in-the-wool invested in Ireland and for Ireland being for Irish people. And the EU absolutely does not want anybody with that type of character. What they want is somebody who's useless, somebody who's weak, somebody who has no backbone, somebody who can just blow in the wind and whatever, and do whatever memos they're sent, they just action them. That's what the EU wants.
And meanwhile, the immigration invasion just rolls on. And I consider the West, especially Britain and Ireland, to be in a doom loop, because you can see, and even in the United States, in places like Minnesota, if you even have 5 or 7% Somalis in a city, they become the linchpin. They promise 100% turnout to the left side, the Democrats, in Minneapolis, and you can see the same thing has happened across the UK, where you might only have a quarter or a third that are foreign born, but that plus the left is a guaranteed majority. And I think Ireland's at that stage where. Because Ireland, as I understand it, you can explain, it's one of the easiest countries in the world to get citizenship. You don't even need to speak English. You don't need to pledge any kind of loyalty. Just show up, and in a year or two, you're voting.
Absolutely. It's a joke. In fact, it's worse than a joke. And this is a bit of a debate going on here at the moment, because the man was recently sentenced for stabbing three young children in Parnell Street a few years ago, viciously stabbed them. And thankfully, nobody was murdered, but you know, very serious injuries done there. And it turned out, Matt, that he was given. This man was an Algerian man. He'd been in the country for about 20 years, knocking around, never had a job on welfare, couldn't speak English. No investment at all, no integration into the society, didn't add anything to the society. And yet, somehow, he was granted citizenship, couldn't even speak the language, never had a job. And then he went out because seemingly he'd been refused his welfare check, or they were going to reduce it or something like that. And he just went berserk with a knife, started stabbing kindergarten children. And that raised the question which the politicians do not want to answer. They don't even want to have the conversation. Like, what are we doing here? Like, are we just handing out citizenship like free candy? Is that where we're at? And essentially, that is where we're at. Because it seems that...
But this is why the internet is so important, because the official media in Ireland is so locked out. You won't find out, for example, that this man that stabbed the Irish American lady to death a week or two ago, you wouldn't even know that he was, not an Irishman. They'll keep the, if it's, you know that it's not an Irishman if they refuse to describe him or give his name, and they know it perfectly well. They gave him time to run off to Jordan. And this is another one of these shirkers that seduced some ditzy American broad who had moved to Ireland full of fairy tales, her wonderful Middle Eastern boyfriend, who ended up killing her when she finally opened her eyes up and was going to throw the bum out. So he killed her for it. And how many times does a story have to be repeated? I mean, at what point does the Irish political class say, or are they just not worried about the Irish political class? The Irish political class go to hell.
Look, the whole system here is broken. It is. It's absolutely dysfunctional from top to bottom. And that's why, as you say, the internet, alternative media is so important, because, there's just no battle here now, man. No, the battle's over. We just didn't know it was on. We are now the resistance. We're the partisans in the hills now. People like me and many others who are trying to put out videos and put the real truth and story across to, especially Irish people, but also the diaspora. Because if you tune in to RTE, our state broadcaster, which is totally, they have to go cap in hand to the government every few months for a bailout because they're broke. And all the mainstream media outlets, every newspaper, magazine, the private TV show, they're all in the tank for the government, because the government is giving them all grants. It's funding them. Without the government, their business model wouldn't work. They couldn't make money. So, as I said, the system is broken. See, if the political class, who no longer fear the journalists who are supposed to hold them to account, but they don't, because they're getting paid to just, give them a soft ride.
Well, the EU's been trying to clamp down on free speech, going with the various bills that have been proposed and nearly passed that would allow for the censorship of shows like yours. That's still a risk,
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And look, and that may happen. Because in the EU, this draconian empire, they really don't like people like me. They don't like people like me because, basically exposing the scam, exposing what's really going on.
It's ironic. It's ironic how, when we were much younger, the Eastern European uprising, you could say it kind of began in Gdansk in Poland with the Union leader Lech Walesa, and then the Pope John Paul II came to visit. The communists couldn't very well say no, the Pope mustn't visit, and millions of Poles turned out. And that after that, that sort of broke the dam, that they couldn't just do like a Hungarian revolution and crush it with tanks. That time was over, and the people who went through that the Eastern European period in the 80s and 90s, some of them are in Ireland now. And they may remember, because a lot of Ukrainians are in Ireland, as I understand, after the war. Plus, when Ireland became part of the EU, and so were countries like Poland, a lot of laborers came from Eastern Europe, especially Poland, Baltic states. So it's not like you're not familiar with these people. And they must be the ones saying, what are you doing? This is what we tried to escape from. We had to have a revolution to throw the communists out. And you're sleepwalking right into it.
Absolutely. And if you look at Eastern Europe and you travel there, or you look at even videos from there, it's a totally different world. Look at Poland. You look at Hungary, Czech Republic. It's like they have just said, we're not buying into this nonsense. No, you guys can go off on your own tangent, and we all know that ends in disaster. But we're not embracing, Viktor Orban was a great, great statesman and a very, very strong leader who was absolutely 100%, I believe, for the Hungarian people and for the Hungarian nation. Now, sadly, he lost
well,
office.
The EU never quits. They've had over the last 30 years, they'll have a referendum. It won't pass. They never just say, okay, well, the people have spoken, we're done. They'll come back, they'll reword it, they'll sneak it through another level of the bureaucracy, they'll keep pushing these the EU laws until they can say it's passed. And the main part, the main deal of the EU, other than the financial aspects and no passports for crossing borders, was something called the Schengen Agreement. So the EU said, oh, you won't need a passport to go from country to country inside of the EU. But we'll, don't worry, we'll protect you from the outside. But then they never did. The border was wide open. And now even in Poland, in Romania, in Hungary, if the EU doesn't get a president that they like or a prime minister that they like, they'll find a way to lawfare him out of existence and ban him from running, ban his party, like the AfD in Germany. The EU is absolutely a tyrannical organization now, top to bottom.
It's a complete full-on empire, and it's a very authoritarian empire. And when a thing starts to go, when a project starts to go off the rails, you know it's going off the rails because they have to clamp down on basic things like freedom of speech. I mean, if you know, they don't like criticism. And so they just find more and more mechanisms, as you say, through lawfare to silence critics. And so they're now pushing this thing that YouTube will have to promote, let's say, what they would call authoritative sources, like the BBC and RTE, which essentially is a way of...
State-approved.
Propaganda. So it's essentially, we're into Pravda territory here now, where, you know, they'll just be pushing this schlock onto the population, because they know, quite rightly, as the politicians do here in Ireland, that, sad but true, most people, certainly more mature people, still get their news, their information from the telly, from the television. They still get it there, not from YouTube. They get it from the BBC, RTE, and the various other channels that we have here, and radio stations. And they know this. So, for the moment, they can kind of put up with the likes of me. Just about. But,
they don't like it,
but they put up with it.
Yeah, I think that Twitter, X, you know, no matter what you think of Elon Musk's other various endeavors in space or other things, the cars, his buying X was really critical. I deleted my Facebook account. I was banned so many times. I'd come back and I'd be given another 30-day ban. It was a revolving door. I nuked my account. And YouTube was useless. A few years ago during the whole, can you say the word COVID without YouTube taking it down? There was a time when couldn't say it. You had to speak in code. The AI algorithm even then would just search out keywords and say, you're demonetized or you're getting a strike, three strikes, you're out. And that can come back quickly. But because of the fact that Twitter even exists, traffic started leaving Facebook and Instagram. And also, there were ways for videos to be posted on Zoom or even directly on X. So I think that you can give Elon Musk credit for loosening up the free speech even off of X. And if the EU has its way and is able to really crack down on X, you know, fining it for these speech violations, cutting off, you know, disallowing VPNs for people that are trying to reach the internet without having their jobs taken or they're being debanked, losing positions at universities, things like that. I think that we're really, you know, we're right now in a kind of a free speech era, but it could turn bad very quickly.
Absolutely. With the EU, you never know what they're going to do next, because no authoritarian move is too big or too outrageous for them. They're capable of anything because they think they're doing good work. They believe in the project. They want to all keep their snouts in the trough. They're all making great money out of this, destroying nations, you know, with their policy. They don't care. These people do not care. It's, in my opinion, it's evil what they're doing. But they are all in on this project, and they're prepared to clamp down on anyone, on any voice that starts to get a bit of traction. And that's why I come back to my point about the diaspora. We need to get the word out to the 30 or 40 million Irish Americans who love Ireland and still believe Ireland is a magical place of their ancestors, the Cead Míle Fáilte, all that great stuff. They could apply pressure. This is my theory. they could apply pressure to their Congress representative or their senator or whatever. America, the US, has such a sway, a power over the Irish.
In tourism.
Absolutely.
And when they put, and when you slam, of the, you know, I've been in towns around Ireland, when you slam an iPass center into one of the landmark hotels, and suddenly, instead of tourists in the heart of a city in Ireland, now there's young migrants from different continents hanging around on the steps and roaming around the parks. It drives the tourism away. You don't come to Ireland to see the Congo or Somalia.
Well, just the other day, Aer Lingus, our national airline, has announced they're laying off 500 staff. And they're also, you know, putting some planes into mothball. And I think a lot of that is to do with the drop in American tourism. Because, as you rightly say, Americans want to come here and meet Irish people. Lads like me, not me personally, but lads like me and Irish people, and get the cave meal of fault, get the old, a sense of the old country, if you like. And they're not getting that. Now, you arrive in Dublin Airport, the first person you meet is probably an Indian. And then you go down then you meet and that's somebody from the Congo. And you go down further and it's somebody from Mongolia. So you mightn't see an Irish person for your first few hours. That's the way it's gone.
You get your pocket picked by a gypsy.
Yeah. Yeah, I was coming to that. But that's the tragedy.
Yeah, well, Derek, we've only got like a minute and a half left on this hour, but it's just a Sunday night show, but, you know, it gives us the practice and establishes the link. So the next time that I'm guest hosting during prime hours, when it'll be just early evening in Ireland, then I'll try to get you back on. And unfortunately, there's news coming out of Ireland almost every week, and it's usually not happy news. It's usually a reminder that your traitor class doesn't care about you and puts the invaders way ahead of you. So I'll give you the last minute about to sum up. What are your links? Where can people find you?
Well, I do most of my work on YouTube, Derek Domino. If you just type that in, I should pop up. My handsome face should pop up into your screen. So click on that and see what you make of it. I put out a video every day, sometimes more than one video every day. And I'm just trying to get the word out in any way and every way I can about the reality of what's actually happening here in Ireland. Because it's tragedy. It's tragedy unfolding in real time and at a pace that's hard to fathom. It's really head-spinning stuff. So the more people that know this, the better chance we have of creating some kind of momentum, some kind of movement that may end up pushing the politicians, be it kicking and screaming, I don't care, pushing them into doing what's wrong, right for the country.
All right, we're out of time. We'll see you the next time. See you after the break. I'll be back. You're welcome.
America is now 250 years old. July 4th isn't about delicious cheeseburgers and fireworks, though I love them so much. It's about what does America stand for? The globalists cannot have our country survive. They want transhumanism. They want the Great Reset. They want the New World Order. That's why they demonize America. That's why they pay the NBA and the NFL to take a knee during the anthem and push all this communist Chinese garbage. Because what America stands for is antithetical to what they're doing. So, when you go to theoligshowshore.com, we have a whole summer line that just rolled out. We'll show you some of these designs. And most of them, I came up with the concepts. I'm pretty proud of it. I think this is a badass shirt. It's the Betsy Ross flag. And it says, Rebel Scum Since 1776. And the designs just get better from there. And they fund the Second American Revolution happening right now. Because our Revolutionary War never really ended. We're just one continued arc. The flower of the Renaissance challenging totalitarians and authoritarian scum. Because in truth, they're the scum. We are the future and we are winning. You wanted 1980 style wife beaters? We got a whole bunch of them with great slogans like less 1984, more 1776. Got another great shirt, make Orwell fiction again, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. And I got to tell you, this fabric, how light it is, how good it feels. I asked the folks at Bigley, can we have some dress shirts? And I sent them an example. This is even better than the shirt I bought that was similar to it. This is awesome. This shirt is so light. It's so great in the summer.
Get yours now along with dozens of new designs and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com.
To 1913, made his great grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones lived forever. Grave digger, when you dig my grave, would you make it shallow?
We're doing man's work here. Fighting for the species as our forebears did. Building. Competing. Striving. Trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible game-changing over-the-horizon information. To share the live feeds now at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
On a mass scale. Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones!
We love you, Alex! I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more!
Hey, Limtard, Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
F*** you, Alex! Suck my d***!
What a bunch of garbage. Liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you. Two sides of the same coin. Two management teams bidding for control. The CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh. Antifa speed bump. Move, bitch. Get out the way.
The truth is out there in front of you. But they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it. And I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? Stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to break down the new world order.
Yeah! I want freedom. That's what I want, and that's what you should want.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. Alex.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Bracken is back, and you have me for the rest of the hour. And I'm just going to be taking calls because I'm kind of tired of hearing my own self-talk. Been on a couple shows recently, and I'm covering the same ground as my wife reminds me a few times now and then. So the call-in number tonight is 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. And I'll talk to you about anything you want to talk about, but the main thing on my mind right now is what I'm beginning to call World War E. And the E could be for energy, or maybe it could be for Epstein. World War E kind of rhymes with World War III, but this is really an energy and commodity war. The world that we knew, Pax Americana, that is running aground on the shoals of the Strait of Hormuz. We're watching right now the end of the American unchallenged military empire. And it's none other than the Iranians that is doing it to us, because they have been planning this and digging in and preparing for decades and decades. And now that it's come, they seem to be ready for us in an asymmetric way, matching our strength against their strength, and they seem to be coming out on the better end because they're pushing us out of our bases close to Iran, further and further, back out into left field until we're pretty much backed up into Jordan and Israel. They've been hitting our bases in the Gulf countries, also in Kuwait, in Syria and Iraq, where we have clandestine bases, and they've been hitting them. Because now there's no secrets from the sky, the eye in the sky. Anything that Russian and Chinese satellites see, the Iranians see the same minute. So as soon as an aircraft lands and offloads troops or helicopters or missile batteries, it's seen. And now the Iranians are proving that they can hit these targets in real time. So as soon as it's set up, I'll start taking your calls, but I think that right now we're going to see not only an explosion in the Iran war, but also in the Ukraine-Russia war, because they're really the same war. It stretches from the Arctic Circle in Murmansk all the way down to Yemen, and there's almost no peaceful stretch in between. The one little gap in between the Russia-Ukraine war and the Iran-America war, that one little gap is Azerbaijan and Georgia and Armenia. And they have not exactly been areas of peacefulness in the last, you know, few years. They've also been in the middle of their own wars and proxy wars. And it's always fascinating to see who is supplying who. You know, the Turks are on one side, the Israelis are on another side. And so if you knit in what has been going on in Azerbaijan, there is really no peaceful country from northern Russia to the bottom of the Saudi Peninsula in Yemen. It's all one continuous war zone. And I don't think that Trump is capable, his ego is not capable of having him back out of this thing. I think that he's going to continue to escalate. The Israelis are primarily the ones that want to see this war escalate, because their goal out of this entire thing is to have America destroy Iran for them, to turn Iran into another failed state like Libya or Syria or Lebanon, to just wreck Iran. And if the global economy is wrecked in the middle of, you know, as a result of this, I don't think it really bothers Israel too much, because they essentially don't exactly love Europe, you know, in itself, or America for that matter. They'll use America. I consider us to be like the big 500-pound dumb gorilla that's, you know, too dumb to know that it's being used like an organ grinder monkey. But we are. We're essentially doing Israel's work. We'll wreck the world economy. We'll destroy the American economy. It'll be the end of America as a superpower. Won't bother Israel. And I think that's really foolish on their part, because without America, there would be nothing left of Israel. And in fact, it might be coming sooner rather than later, because with all of these aerial refueling tankers, primarily the KC-135s, it's a big aircraft, looks like an airliner, with all of them stacked up in Israel and in Jordan, it just seems like it's such an inviting target to hit them on the ground. It doesn't take much to destroy an aircraft on the ground. You know, an explosion even a couple hundred yards away can put enough fragments and overpressure into an aircraft to render it mission incapable. So I don't see how the Iranians are going to be swayed from taking out these refueling tankers when they are basically the key to our entire force projection in the area. You know, what can come off of our aircraft carriers, the F-18s, it's really not that much. They can launch one or two JASSM missiles at a time. That's not a lot. And we haven't been seeing B-52s. They're just too vulnerable. They can launch a lot of missiles off of their wings, but we're basically talking about aerial refueling tankers taking in F-16s, F-35s, getting them close enough to Iran to launch their missiles. If those aerial tankers are destroyed on the ground, we're done. Our military's over. I mean, as far as force projection versus Iran. Now, would Trump be tempted to use a nuke, like a tactical nuke, on one of these mountain bunker complexes? I don't think that even could be ruled out. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't rule anything out, because I think that we're being led by a person who's not in his right mind, and there are people around him, not necessarily his cabinet, but people who study these things know exactly how to manipulate Trump by now. Whether it's the what might be in the Epstein files or other ways to just manipulate his ego, I think that they are going to convince him that he just can't back down. The MOU would have been the perfect off-ramp that he signed on June 17th. Even though it was essentially a defeat for America, he could have claimed victory. They would have passed that along on Fox News. They would have said, yeah, it's not a great deal, but at least the war is over. We could have backed out gracefully. Now we can't do that. Now it's escalating from the tit for tat straight up to all-out war again, going after not only military targets, but us hitting their bridges and some power stations and desal plants, and Iran retaliating the same way. But none of that is going to be at the level of what's going to happen when missiles are slamming into Tel Aviv, Ben Gurion Airport, and other bases in Israel. And at the same time, I think that we're going to see, because there will always be like a synergy, a power in attacking at the same time that another attacker is attacking your common enemy. That will be when when the Russians directly attack NATO countries with their hypersonic missiles, which, unlike previous eras, when a nuclear war-tipped missile, you'd say, well, that would destroy all of London. You don't have to do that now. You can have a missile that is so accurate that it hits the exact factory that you've been warning them to stop providing missiles for Ukraine to launch at Russia. They've been warning and warning and saying, you better stop it. We're not going to take this forever. You know, fair warning. And I think that we could see that in the near future, next weeks, possibly no more than that. But in Russia, there are the groundswell of opinion is that Putin's been too accommodating, too weak, too soft. And the Russian attitude now is it's time to go after NATO, the head of the snake. Those missiles that they're firing deep into Russia, they're just using the Ukraine as a safe launching pad. They're German and British missiles and long-range drones. So we've got to cut the head of the snake off. I don't think that this is out of the realm of possibility. So we could wake up to some really, really crazy news, such as that the Iranians are hitting Israel hard and destroying American aircraft on the ground, which will happen with casualties, because it's not like these KC-135 tankers are just sitting there empty. They've always got crew working on them. And you can't give warning, so they're just going to come streaking in with these cluster munitions, like a warhead that splits into dozens of smaller warheads, which will be perfect for hitting dispersed targets on an airfield, thin-skinned aircraft. They're not in revetments. They're much too big. Tear up those KC-135s, kill a lot of American aircrew. At the same time, see Russian hypersonic missiles hitting targets in England and in Germany. And what would we do about it? Would we escalate to nuclear? And this is such a dangerous precedent, because it's always been assumed that none of the main powers would fire ballistic missiles at one another, because you'd never be sure if it wasn't a nuclear-tipped missile. You know, if you saw a missile coming from Ukraine at Moscow, how do you know it didn't have a nuke on it? Well, that precedent's been broken. Now we're doing that right and left. Sending long-range drones and missiles deep into Russia, there's no way on the radar to tell if it's carrying a nuke or not. So the Russian calculation has to be, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Are you going to launch a nuke at Russia just because you see a Russian hypersonic coming at some rural factory in northern England where they're making these drones, or maybe even a suburban factory? Because they can put it right through the roof of the factory. That's one of the amazing things about this war. There's almost no collateral damage, or very little, compared to other wars. You know, when you consider the bombing we did during World War II, to get at a rail junction, we wiped out entire towns full of people. In this war, the strikes on both sides have been more or less surgical, outside of the initial sneak attack strikes when we destroyed entire apartments to get one man, or in the case of Minab, the 168 schoolgirls. But other than that, you know, if you happen to be on the bridge when it's hit, that's bad luck. But they can now hit the bridge. In the old days, they'd have to do B-52 strikes and carpet bomb the whole area to get the bridge. Not anymore. So we could see some crazy stuff, like Israel ratcheting up to taking out American targets in Israel, and Russia taking out NATO targets in the UK and Germany. We could absolutely see that. Okay, we've got some people on the line, and we're going to talk to Mike in Alaska. This is a question on the Alcan Highway. I don't even know. What is the Alcan Highway? Is that America, Canada? Go ahead, Mike.
Matt. Oh, hello, Matt. Thank you for logging me in. Yeah, and I had a couple other comments. I'm really furious, but no, the Alcan Highway, we built it to supply Alaska and the Aleutian Islands from down below, Alaska-Canada. Yeah, it went from Montana basically up into Beaver Creek and up there into up into the Klondike there, up into Alaska. We lost a lot of lives for it. We built the right-of-way. It's a tremendous right-of-way. It grows through the most beautiful country. I call it the Valley of the...
You know, yeah. I saw a documentary. Now you've prompted my memory. I saw a documentary of this. And when they built it in record time, they basically had a phalanx of the biggest Caterpillar bulldozers in the world, like one on point and then two on flank and two outside of that, and they just plowed through virgin forest with the biggest caterpillars on the planet.
Virtually unstoppable, yes. GM and their Terexes and the engineers, the American engineers who are back there were infallible. They're just what they built and why we can't build a road out of the top of Arabia. I mean, we've already got endless highways up there, and I know it would be expensive. I've researched it there, but we built that Alcan. We need to put the railroad in as it was designed. It would haul a tremendous amount of cargo and resources back and forth. Alaska's forests are endless, and they have some of the finest wood and spruce up there to make musical instruments. They have, it's the crown jewel of America with its resources. We haven't even started to tap into Alaska. Do you know that the hard rock mines there now are new? We never mined hard rock in Alaska per se. Yes, down on Kennecott and the copper and stuff, but overall the size of the state does not justify, I mean, the amount of mining done there is minuscule to what we have there. The resources, they drilled, I worked on the pipeline for a couple of years. We drilled the North Slope for 100 miles. I was up on the frozen ocean testing with the charges for GSI, Geophysical Services Incorporated out of Texas. We found coal, Matt, for 100 miles on the North Slope.
So you're saying there's no rail link across Canada to Alaska? Straight from
No, sir. It was designed for it, and it was also designed to carry the natural gas line pipeline from, the link up there from where it's going to veer off at Delta Junction there, and it's going to head over to Beaver Creek and then down the right-of-way, which is the true right-of-way. Now they even got another road built now called the Cassiar, which is just incredible. But the Alcan is unbelievable, Trutch Mountain and the Northern Rockies there. But our right-of-way, we own it. We sweated blood and tears for it. Canada stole it. We opened up Canada's whole western front with that highway. They absolutely were broke as can be. And if it wasn't for the Alcan Highway, all those cities that the tourists go through now were started on the Alcan.
Yeah, we also built the Panama Canal, and we did that on the deal was we have the right of way, we have the canal zone,
yes.
And that was American territory. If you were born there, you were an American, and unfortunately, yes. Jimmy Carter gave that away too.
I know it makes me disgusted. My dad was a World War II combat vet. He said that the CIA killed off McCarthy, and that McCarthy was a true hero, and it was the start of the downfall. And then when they took out Kennedy, isn't that funny? They got rid of silver money after Kennedy was dead.
Yeah, same, yeah, the next year.
And this is it. I was furious when Trump's feigned surprise on election fraud is disgusting. He talks to us like we're idiots, and we're totally, and he totally ignores the hard work of Alex Jones and his patriotic A-team. I'm so disgusted. I am done with foreign wars. I want every penny, every amount of focus put on our streets in L.A.
It's estimated we have spent $8 trillion on Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Iran. $8 trillion. That's $8,000 billion. Dollars.
I have 20 grandchildren, Matt, and they stole from them. Our president stole from our president right now. Is clueless. I don't know if it's the VAT or what the hell it is. He proclaimed the CIA communist in America. Communist in America. Okay, my question is, are they still an active agency, Matt? Are they still around, the CIA?
Who do they work for? They don't work for America. Hey, listen, Mike, I got a couple calls backed up. And while there's still time for a second call in this segment, can we go to Nick in California about Trump being mind controlled?
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah, can you hear me? Hey,
yes.
Hey, brother, how you doing? Yeah,
good,
I mean, for me, what the fork in the road for me, why I'm asking this, and I'm sure a lot of people are asking this, is that, when Elon Musk was just tearing through all the waste and corruption, and then literally within a week, I mean, I know there was people in his administration that was trying to get Musk out of there, but we had so much momentum, and then all of a sudden him and Elon Musk started fighting, and then ever since then, it's just been a downward spiral. So that's, I'm just wondering if you think, you know, because you know they're spraying us with nanotechnology and trying to get
one by one, I think that the patriotic team around Trump, the people that we voted for, one by one, they get taken out. You know, the Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent resigned out of, you know, being unwilling to go along with it. Robert Kennedy seems to be totally sidelined. So it just seems like the Rubios are, the Rubio types are the only ones left around him. And I think that he is being steered in really bad directions. You still there, Nick? Did we lose you?
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering if they're actually, if the CIA or the deep state is using technology to just mess with his mind, because he's just, you know, the person that we got when in the beginning when he got in is so different to now.
I don't know if it even requires necessarily technology. I wouldn't rule anything out. Certainly, yeah. You know, going all the way back, they were using experiments with LSD and other things to see how they could mind control people, the whole MK Ultra and all of that.
Right.
But I don't know if that's even necessary. I think that just a very deep study of the man's psychology and his declining medical condition. I think Robert Barnes, when he's on Out with Alex, really does maybe lay that out better than anybody, the declining mental faculties of our president. But he's at a stage where it seems like it's all about his ego. There's stuff like the his own crypto coins that are a total, like, you know, he took billions of dollars from gullible people, think that they were making an investment, and they basically just put money in his family's pocket. Or the gold dollar coin. I mean, what are these things about? These vanity projects like the ballroom and the fiasco of redoing the reflecting pool. It just seems like he's so focused on these vanity projects when he should be focused like a laser beam on this Iran disaster. I mean, the whole thing that began on February 28th should have never happened. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster for the world. And the entire world will blame America for everything that comes out of it. We can't say we were defending ourselves. You know, we started this war, so everything that spills out of this war will be laid at our feet. And we can blame Trump, or we can say, well, Trump was tricked by Netanyahu into doing this, but at the end of the day, the president is the one in charge. He can't blame it on being tricked by somebody else. But I think that's very possible that's what happened. He was convinced it would be over in 4 days. When it wasn't over in 4 days, he said it would be like 3 to 4 weeks, absolute max. Now it's 3 to 4 months with no end in sight and just escalating like crazy. Any final thoughts? We got like a minute left, so here's your chance.
I know that, you know, there's some group of thought that he was tricked into this war. I think Trump is smarter than that. I just think he has another agenda. But it just didn't play out the way. It didn't play out to the way he wanted. So.
I think he can. I think his ego is such that people that understand his psychology can manipulate him. Can just put the right incentives in front of him, and he'll run to them like, you know, a dog going to the food dish. He just can't help himself. He's so vain. And, you know, there was a little bit of hope when he signed the MOU like a month ago now on the 17th of June. He said he didn't want to be Herbert Hoover and be blamed for causing a global depression. But that's exactly what's going to happen. And we may be lucky to get out of it with only a depression, because this could escalate. I think it already is one world war. You know, both the Northern Front and the Southern Front, I think they're blurring into one war. All right, I'm going to be back for the last segment in a couple minutes, so just hang on there. Patrick and Austin and some others will get to you after the break.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo.
sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have this system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Okay, this is the last segment. You've got me till the top of the hour. And I'm going to go to calls in just a minute, starting with Pat in Austin, Texas, the People's Republic of Austin. You know, I've been off of watching news for a couple of hours, so I don't know if everything I've been saying so far has already been rendered obsolete, overtaken by events. That's the speed that this has been going on. I've been on some podcasts and watching other podcasts, and in the middle of the podcast, the host will say, sorry, some new news has come out, something else, a missile has landed somewhere else. So it feels like we really are on the cusp of this just breaking out into an open world war as the Russia, America, NATO, Ukraine war just spills right into the Iran, America, Israel war, where they're connected by the Caspian Sea, if you can believe it. And there's been a, there was a Russian naval base in the northwest corner of the Caspian Sea that was attacked by Ukrainian drones. This is a few weeks ago. And there's a Iranian port at the bottom of the Caspian Sea that was attacked by Israeli and American missiles and missiles and jets. And the, at the time, earlier in the March part of this war, it looked like the Israelis might have actually been launching some of this from Azerbaijan. You know, that's how mixed up this region is. So I'm expecting probably within the next month, we're not going to be looking at this as two separate wars anymore. Then we're going to go to just unrestricted naval warfare, and you're going to suddenly see tankers and container ships going off, the just disappearing, or LNG tankers exploding. It's going to get like that. It's things that happen out on the ocean, if there's no camera to record it, all right, somebody will say, well, we saw a flash on a satellite, or there's a ship that went off a radar. But who sees it? So that's probably going to be one of the next things that happened, unrestricted naval warfare. But we're heading into absolute World War III territory. Anyway, let's go to the next caller, who is Pat in Austin, if Pat is still patiently waiting. Are you there? Is Pat there?
Pat, yeah, can you hear me, Matt?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Thanks.
Good deal, brother. Hey, thanks for all you do and your background, your knowledge. Really appreciate it. This whole thing of CIA, I mean, we're not ignorant, right? We all know this has been going on for years. And, like,
from the beginning,
Exactly, by design. And so, yeah, and then you got, you know, Hoover and the FBI. I mean, it's all so obvious. But yeah.
Eisenhower and Kennedy tried to warn us.
Exactly. But who do we send in there to do a lockdown, a raid and lockdown, like lock down all the servers, lock down all the physical files, put these people in, you know, some type of custody for, you know, questioning? It's like, who are we going to turn to turn this thing around? I mean, I don't know who we can trust in the Special Delta Force or
nobody.
I don't know who it is, but tomorrow, what's that?
Who guards the guards? I forget the Latin saying, but. Yeah, who guards guards? When the Praetorian Guard becomes a force of its own, then they can control the Caesar.
Yeah, exactly.
They control access to him. I don't think there's a good answer to that.
Know Monday morning, like tomorrow, after what was relayed or what's being dumped right now, the prudent thing to do and the appropriate thing to do would be send in a force that you know you can trust, that knows how to handle cyber comms, lockdown computers, servers, you know, watch out for any auto-delete button, you know, all that kind of stuff. To secure all the physical documentation, top secret documents, get everything, just shut the whole freaking thing down and go through and just with a fine-pick comb, you've got to look at everything. You go back and day one.
But we're in an era when you can't believe your own eyes because, you know, AI could create a completely false reality, a simulated reality that's as detailed as, you know, there may be only a handful of experts in the world who could decipher what is a fake computer record and what is a real computer record. I remember a few years ago when it was, who was the guy who was killed in Washington, D.C., Seth Rich. Private forensic computer investigators said, oh, it was made to look like it came from Russia. The code was like written on a Russian computer, and so the trail is falsely led to, so that if anybody backtracks the trail, it'll appear to have originated in Russia. But we know that it didn't. We know that it didn't originate in Russia. Well, that was years ago. It's so much, AI has advanced so much now. No matter what was announced, that we have sent in these great investigators and this is all the truth about the 2020 election, you're never going to get half of the people to believe it.
Right.
No matter how convincing evidence is, half of the population will say it's manufactured. You know, you can't tell anymore what's a real reality and what's a fake reality. And it's a problem because people are so easily manipulated today. I mean, you have these man on the street things where the different podcasters go up and ask people simple questions and the average American can't tell you, you know, who fought in the Revolutionary War? They don't know. What century?
Okay,
they
listen, not for 11, they'll say Jesus Christ did.
But they can vote. And they
right.
And it's not like
that's
they're not
problem.
Getting information. They're getting flooded with information. But most of the information tidal wave that they're being flooded with through their screens is either useless, bogus celebrity sports ball stuff, and what little that is has anything to do with history or military affairs is probably completely false. It still blows my mind that General Kellogg and General Keane can get airtime on Fox, even for that audience, saying like, yeah, we got to go in and take, put the boots on the ground in Iran. It's like, are they really that stupid? Fox is keeping them on. How many millions of Americans are so deluded they think that's a possibility, that we can, like, actually, you know, take over Iran with a handful, a minuscule fraction of the troops that it took to, you know, to defeat the Japanese on those islands? A fraction, like 1%. People don't have any sense of scale. They think, oh, 10,000 Marines, they should be able to invade anything, right? They're Marines. 10,000 Marines would be like a mouse in an elephant cage compared to 92 million Iranians on their own home terrain. So it worries me that people are so easily manipulated. I don't think, no matter what report comes out about stolen elections, you know, I watch a variety of podcasts from different perspectives, and on the left, they think the whole idea of a manipulated election is just completely ridiculous, made up by Trump. You know, it's all MAGA lies. Joe Biden won fair and square. And if you don't think so, then you know, you've been brainwashed by the, you know, the MAGA side.
Exactly.
So we're never going to get a point in this country where even 60% of people agree, yes, that election was stolen. It's never going to happen.
Let me ask you real quick before you go. I know you got to jump real quick, but so you've got a background in crypto, right?
Negative. Negative. No more than anybody.
Okay. Well, my thing is, why can't we just put this on the blockchain? Put the voting system on a blockchain. If it breaks, the integrity's gone.
But there's a complete trail. All of the blockchain comes with the history. So there's no privacy
right.
with cryptocurrency. Every exchange is recorded forever.
Right.
And I listen to people that say Bitcoin was created at the very beginning as just like a trick to lure fools in as a fundraising method. We'll get people
right.
to invest in something. It's absolutely got no security. We'll tell them that it's secure, but it's not. And at
but
any point they can say
but for voting though. If we get away from the currency aspect of it, from voting, it logs everything.
For voting, we can do it like civilized countries do. You have these clear, the big bins, like the 100-gallon plastic bins you get at Home Depot. They have them that are clear. They're the size of a Foot Locker, and they're clear plastic. And they've just got a slit on the top. And all the parties and everybody concerned has all their own seals over the lid of that thing. So everybody is watching those ballots, paper ballots, go in there, every single one, and it's all observed. And they count them in the precinct in front of witnesses. That's how civilized countries do it. That's how much, you know, countries as big or larger than America can come out in one night. Because they've got it. There's no electronic machines that have to be.
No.
Oh, we got to have computer experts. There is a flood. We got to run them through the machine again. Paper ballots. They're counted. So in a precinct, there's 5,000 people that cast a ballot. How long does it take in front of witnesses to count them? Less than an hour in front of all the witnesses. That precinct sends that result up the chain of command. And it's at a national level in a couple of hours. I mean, states like Florida can do it, but we have to get rid of the mechanic. The machines are just cheat-o-matics. Vote by mail is fraud. Vote by mail is pure fraud.
Exactly.
You know, they used the COVID excuse to facilitate vote by mail, and it just became the Wild West. There's no way it jumped from Bush and Trump with, like, you know, 67, 69 million votes to Biden gets 81 million votes.
There's no
and
way
then it goes back
possible.
Down. There's no way that happened. That was mass vote stuffing.
Oh, definitely. But, yeah.
But I'm no big fan of crypto. I think anything that is complex and difficult to understand is probably a Fed trap. It's probably, luring you into some form of digital currency. All right, you go ahead, finish up.
I just hope we can get these elections cleaned up like you're talking about, because that's the thing. It's so simple. We don't need to pay for all these machines. We don't need all that shit. All we need is pay for ballots and a certified source.
If this war goes hyperbolic in the next couple of months, I expect that the Republicans are going to be wiped out in both houses. Trump will be the lamest of lame ducks, be impeached, everything. I mean, I don't see a real happy way out of this situation we're in. All right, I'm going to go now to let's see, we got Robert in Alabama, or is that we just did Robert? I'm sorry. Was that Robert? Who were you? Is there Matt in Ohio there? We got Matt in Ohio? Oh, I'm sorry. Robert still there?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry, Robert. I'm kind of an amateur at this.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, it's a great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
I have two different topics that relate in the same. But the first one I want to bring up is you have a very well-respected former CIA analyst, Larry Johnson, who I respect a lot. And I watched him on, I think, his new channel on YouTube, Transition Protocol, and he said that Trump calling out the China's involvement in, election meddling and everything, and he just said it was completely bogus. However, everything else I hear him say is, 100% accurate. And that leads to the war in Iran, where our president, I haven't heard anyone say that, is he being drugged? We know Hitler was
drugged.
Well,
no, let me give you, I watch a lot of the same podcast you do, and
yeah, I saw you on Mario in the fall, and
that was my first time there. There are folks like Larry, and I listen to them, right? But he's not. I look at some things as like a litmus test that I can't believe somebody 100% in every area. For example, when it comes to election fraud. I think that Larry, you can say, kind of comes from the left. Even though he's an ex-CIA guy, he comes from the left. So do some of the other guys that I watch. Lieutenant Colonel Dan Davis, Ray McGovern, they definitely come from the left. Larry Wilkerson, because when they'll talk about something like vote fraud, then it's like, oh, ridiculous. There's no way. That's a complete conservative myth. So when I hear them debunking vote fraud, it makes me say, okay, that's fine. I'll listen to him on subjects like Russia versus Iran, but I'm understanding that he's coming from the left. Just like if I'm watching Professor Mirandi from Iran, right? I listen to him very carefully. He's a super smart guy, but he's got a point of view. He has a perspective. He's a professor in Iran.
He has enormously biased.
But he fought in the Iran-Iraq war in the 1980s as a young man. He's going to have a perspective, right? So I try to suss out the angle that people are taking and steer all the kind of calibrate all those angles together to get what I consider a true picture. So I don't think that Larry Johnson is like 100% right on everything, even when it comes to the Iran war. Like today he made a few mistakes and he was almost like belligerent with Mario Nofal. This was like right after I was on. Like they were arguing a little bit abrasively, or Larry was with Mario, saying no Black Hawk was shot down. And there was. There was an Apache that was shot down and there was a Black Hawk that was lost in the sea. And the pilot, the commanding officer pilot, was not recovered. So it's like that was just plain wrong. And who cares? It's this minor thing. But he was very belligerent with Mario about that. And then talking about the Blackhawks, when Mario was trying to get sort of back to my point that they could be used to ferry troops across the Persian Gulf, and Larry was like, no, they're in Jordan. They can't fly that far. It's like, well, do you think that they fly straight from America to Kuwait? No, they have to ferry. They have to land in the desert and refuel and then hop, skip, and jump across the desert. There's a thing called a FARP, a forward area refueling position, where a C-130 lands, and it's like a temporary tanker. It's full of fuel blivets. So the C-130 can land practically in the rough desert. The helicopters all land next to it. They hose up the helicopters, and then they lily pad. They hop, skip, and jump right across all the way to where they're going to finally take off to attack their target. And Larry was just like, no, Mario, it can't happen. Check it out. Their range isn't like that great. So, yeah, I listened to Larry Johnson. I listened to Professor Mirandi. I listened to all of these guys. But I try to understand where they're coming from so that I'm, you know, I don't get, and anybody that says, oh, the 2020 election, anybody that disputes it is a right-wing kook. Well, I know that these guys are a little bit coming from the left. You know, they may be ex-CIA, but they're still coming from the left. Because I do believe that the 2020 election was totally stolen. Totally. Yeah. Whether it was China or just Democrats, but he didn't get 81. Biden didn't get 81 million legit votes. Period. You know, no, Bigfoot has a better chance of being real.
If you looked at all the counties he won, it was like 400 counties out of like 4,700. There is no way that's statistically possible.
Oh yeah, statistically, all of the statistical analysis, it's just totally bogus. It's a total outlier.
However, I didn't vote for Trump, you know, which now seeing what's going on, I don't regret it. But however, I don't have a bias saying, oh, he's fibbing, making up election fraud. It was. I mean, there's no doubt if you look at the evidence. And
hey, look, and Robert, I only got 6 minutes left, and I got two more guys. I hate when I was calling into shows. I hated being the tail end Charlie and just being dumped. So can we go to Matt in Ohio? Because he wants to talk about Ireland. And we'll split this last 6 minutes.
Yes, sir. I'm here. This is Matt from Ohio. I just wanted to say thank you so much for having Derek Domino on. I can't tell you enough how long I've been waiting to see him on, you know, an Alex Jones-affiliated show. I'm so grateful that you had him on. I'm Irish American. Yep, I'm Irish American myself. I have been back and forth to Ireland. I was there maybe about a year and a half ago on a creative project. And I have to say, Derek Domino, obviously he lives there 100%. I traveled all over Tralee, Cork, Galway, Dublin. And I hate to use the expression, Ireland is no longer Ireland, but that really, it is astounding how much the country has changed. I can't thank you enough. I really hope to see him in the future on your show during the week. And I hope that Al can also feature him, because the problems in Ireland are continuing. They are snowballing. And as you know, there's some kind of freak, immigrant doing some sort of violent act, and then Ireland blows up. Of course, Ezra Levant has covered this and referenced the Rebel News as well. So I hope that whenever there's a blow up in Ireland, that you and Al can get Derek Domino on, because he is doing such a great job.
Well, that was my main mission tonight, and Derek said he would come on if it was 4 a.m. So my main mission tonight was to make the connection with the Alex Jones show.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I want to give Derek Domino big props. I don't know if he's still listening, but I want to give Derek Domino big props. This is Matt from Ohio, fellow Irish American. I'm so grateful for the work that he's doing and for you giving an opportunity to expose what's going on in Ireland. Because as you both mentioned, to sum up, it really, what's happening in Ireland, it's a precursor of what could happen in America or is happening in America, and also
it's a canary in the coal mine. Yeah, it's a canary in the coal mine for sure.
And real quickly,
when the next time I'm guest hosting during the daytime, I'm absolutely going to have him on again, 100%.
I'm grateful.
And then he'll just be in the Alex Jones rotation, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And real quickly, I know it sounds a little goofy. I got a big suggestion for all the InfoWars listeners out there. Now, this might sound a little funny, but I get a lot of crank phone calls. I get a lot of crank phone calls from people. Oh, hey, you want to buy your, you know, we want to buy your house, or, you know, people trying to scam me.
Every day.
A hilarious way to deal with this is have your favorite Alex Jones clip. Have your favorite Matt Bracken clip at the ready. And then when they call, you say, oh, hang on, let me get the person who has to deal with this. And then you get the clip playing and you put your phone right by this crank phone caller calling you. And it is hilarious. Sometimes,
believe it or not,
Matt, they will stay on the phone and listen and be like, what? Huh? What? Huh? And sometimes they'll hang up immediately. But for the info warriors out there, keep it in mind. Thank you, Matt, so much. There's a million ways
to use those great clips. All right, I've only got 2 minutes left, but I want to go to Nick in Arizona because I know you've been waiting, and I'll just let you say your piece because we don't really have time for a long conversation. So go ahead, Nick.
Well, thank you for taking my phone call. I wanted to bring to light, you know, this COVID coup that took place and what role these NGOs played, specifically the MacArthur Foundation Safety and Justice Challenge Grant, which it claims is in 52 counties and communities across the United States. If you look at the blue plan or the blue cities and the Podesta plan, they all match up. But we've researched them in more communities. The grant was in exchange for data on our criminals in order for money. Their stated goal was to make the jail safer, and the way they did that is they implemented critical race theory into our criminal justice system, period. The criminals that were released was a collaborative effort between all these local municipalities and the City University of New York, okay? In fact, they actually made the decision on who went to jail and who didn't, and that's documented by the San Francisco's DA walking away from the grant.
Well, Nick, you got to sum it up because I got to say goodbye in just like a half a minute. So what you have like one big like bullet point or link or something? Because I got to say goodbye.
They can go to my ex account at Nick Urie at 1977. But
give that again. Give that again. They can find you on X. What is that again?
Nick Urie, NICKURE, 1977.
Okay, Nick. All right. Well, that's all the time we've got tonight. If you're interested in that COVID theory, you can find him on X. X is a great equalizer. Thank you, Elon, for nothing else but for creating X and trying to bring back a little bit of free speech. It's kept for a while. It kept Alex on the air when he was being lawfared and hounded. X was just about Alex's only outlet for a while there. And it's still probably his main portal. So this was kind of a last-minute thing. I'm glad I had Derek Domino on in the first hour, and I'll probably be seeing you again soon. You know, you can find my books on Amazon, all these great books, but if you go to my website or go to my X account, you can get them straight from me, and you won't be giving most of your money to Jeff Bezos. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
They called me crazy. They called me paranoid. But now they know I was right. Tonight, more conspiracies that turned out to be true on this episode of I Told You So.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Fighting for the species as our forebears did. Building. Competing. Striving. Trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible, game-changing, over-the-horizon information. To share the live feeds now at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X.
at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site, with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
I want to bring down the new world order!
I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
AlexJonesLive.com